Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post weekly audio podcast presented to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, stepping in for Bruce Millington, who has a well-earned rest this week. But I can assure you he'll be back next week at an earlier time of Thursday next week, not Friday, but Thursday, for a preview of the November meeting at Cheltenham. Plenty of racing fans looking forward to that, so make sure you have that in your calendar. But what a bumper show we have for you today. Action from Wincanton, Aintree, Doncaster, Down Royal, and joining myself in the final part of this postcast will be one of our international racing experts and journalist, Ron Wood, to give his best bets for Saturday over in Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup. But who's covering the action this side of the pond, you may be asking? We have the Racing Post very own Mark Boylan and Graham Robway. Plenty to get through, gents. So we'll kick things off with the 12:40 at Wincanton, which is the Richard Barber Memorial's Mares Handicap Hurdle. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 mile, 5.5 furlongs, a Class 2 event, and prices that I'll be reading out are the best price available on our Racing Post Pro card, which is the best race card anywhere on the internet. You can get hold of that if you are a Racing Post Members Club member. The prices look like this. Lady Adair is your 2-1 favourite. Winhouse, 7-2. Rose of Arcadia, 4-1. Sabrina, 13-2. Ukanava, 8-1. And double figures about the other three here. Graham, I'll start with you. How are things going into what's an action-packed weekend?
Yeah, really looking forward to this weekend. Sam, yeah, it's a great weekend ahead, isn't it? It's absolutely freezing cold where I am, so I'm sitting here with a blanket on. You know, don't put the heating on there, and probably how much it costs nowadays. But it's a cracking race to start. Lady Adair is going to be hard to beat. Obviously, could be absolutely anything, but has only got a highest RPR of 123 and is running off a BHA mark of 130. So, strictly speaking, needs to improve quite a bit on our figures and what she's achieved, and she's a short price to do it. I thought maybe last year's race might be the best guide to this. Winhouse won it, and Rose of Arcadia finished third, and I think they're second and third in the market here. Winhouse won the race. Rose of Arcadia travelled really well, looked like she was going to win, and then shaped like she needed the run. And Rose of Arcadia has won 3 times since. I thought it was very, very difficult to choose between them. I just thought maybe that Winhouse might confirm the form. But, Winhouse over Rose of Arcadia. Wouldn't surprise me if it was the other way around, but I'm going to take a chance on Winhouse confirming the places.
There we go. Okay, last year's winner, Winhouse for Graham. Mark, how are things, and who do you like in the opener?
Oh, good, Sam. Yeah, chasing neat eyes in the back of your head this weekend, but nothing to complain about. I thought Sabrina was the one here. I thought the race could set up nicely for her. You know, you have Lady Adair, you can have her next door to Alice, Petticoat Lucy. They like to be forward here, relatively speaking. And I think a strongly run race is what Sabrina is crying out for. She's not over a flash. Her jumping was a little bit slipshod the last day, but I think overall, she gets a right good gallop here, which she should. She'll be seeing this out better than any of them. You know, and that, she likes this course. She won over the course and distance in March. You know, the straight here just allows her to get into things. And I know she's up in the weights, but Frey Gingell, who won on Rose of Arcadia last time, he takes off £10. And she's like, look at Nichols. He's in savage form at the moment. 13 winners from his last 36 runners, 35% strike rate, 36% strike rate in the last fortnight. You know, I just think at the prices, it's worth taking a chance on her. You'd imagine having one here in March, so with a circle, this one is D-Day for her in the early season. So give me Sabrina, I think, at the prices.
There you go, Sabrina for Mark at the prices. Nichols going great guns at the moment, as he does always. And Graham is going to be with Winhouse in the opener at Wincanton. Moving on then to the 1:15, which is the Boodles Rising Stars Novices Chase. Novice Chase over 2 mile, 4 furlongs, a Class 1, Grade 2 here. McFabulous probably sets the stand in here and is the 5-4 favourite. Sebastopol 3-1, hanging there 9-2, Utrecht's 9-1, Mortlach 16-1, and Victoria's Peak 66-1. And like I say, Mark, the hurdles form, you'd probably think McFabulous easily sets the standard. I think future plans for this horse, from what I've heard, the Corto Star Novice Chase over Christmas that was won by Brave Man's Game last season. Now, he'll probably have to do this very well to set the bar in that, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it's the sort of race approaching this where, in my head, I would like to have said I'd go with Sebastopol from an experience point of view. You know, you have a horse here that's making its first start over Vince's and McFabulous at the age of 8, rising 9, whereas Sebastopol is in here with lots of experience. You know, he has a core body of fitness under him from 2 runs in October. But looking deeper at Sebastopol, I just don't know whether he's of the same quality as McFabulous. You know, he's got a rating of 148. He's wrong at the weights with McFabulous, a few pounds out. I just think McFabulous can probably get away, even if he isn't quite silky here. I think he can still probably get away with it and win. Hang in there. I just have trust issues after the last day. For all that, you know, ground-wise, they, I think they were blaming there that, you know, it wasn't quite what he wanted there. There was nothing physically off, but, you know, just wanted a faster surface. I don't think that'll be an issue here, but I just think McFabulous has a class edge over the rest of them. Whether he's a caller star, novice horse, Sam, I don't really know. He's probably better, I think, at mid-range trips such as this. I'd be slightly cautious about him getting back up to 3 miles, but you never know around Kempton if he's going to get 3 miles. That's the place for him. But I think he'd probably just win this.
Okay, McFabulous for Mark. Are you going to be with the favourite as well here, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, if he jumps around and enjoys it, he'll win, won't he, Sam? He's just indifferent. Different gravy to this lot. Sebastopol is a decent horse, but yeah, don't like him very much, to be honest. He gets beaten too often, and I was absolutely appalled with the way that Hang In There ran at Cheltenham last night. I thought it was so disappointing. The rest of them ain't good enough. So as long as McFabulous jumps around, enjoys it, it could be the first of many winners for Paul Nicholls, Sam. Of course, he I've lost count of how many times I come to this week Wincanton meeting, or in fact any Wincanton meeting, and Paul Nicholls knocks in four or five winners. So I think the bookmakers are going to have to strap on their hard hats and get ready for all those Paul Nicholls accumulators that all these punters are going to be putting in tomorrow, because I could quite easily see Nicholls ending this meeting with, again, four or five winners. And if you can find them all and put them in the right multiple, you could walk out tidily ahead. This might be the first of them, McFabulous.
There we go. Joint selection at Fabulous and potentially Nicholls to have a good day. So far, I think Mark will certainly be hoping so. And moving into the next race, Nicholls has the two favourites at the top of the market here. It's the 150. It's the 61st running of the Badger Beer Handicap Chase over 3 mile, 1 furlong. Frodon is the 7-2 favourite here. And Rillo 9-2. Lord Accord 13-2. Captain Orr 7-1. Potterman 11-1. 12-1. And bigger the rest. Now, Paul Nicholls, we've already mentioned plenty already on the podcast, but has won three of the last five runnings of this. And Present Man was such a lovable dual winner of this. And the same partnership, Nicholls and Briony Frost team up with Frodon, another lovable horse in the National Hunt game, who skipped his engagement at Down Royal for this. Graham, do we just keep this simple, or is there something at the prices?
Well, I will be having that Nicholls accumulator, and I actually prefer in Relo of the two Nicholls runners, the one that Harry Cobden's running. I think that maybe first time out after a Windop, this might be his race. He's well handicapped. However, despite having said that, I'll have a multiple on the Nicholls runners, and I will put in Relo in it. The one that I'm going to back in a single is Lord Accord. I was at Cheltenham last time when he won that race, and he was so dominant that day. He absolutely powered up the hill, and I don't think it was a great race. I mean, the Wolf is a bit of an old character who finished second, but he does run Cheltenham quite well. And I just was very, very impressed with the way that Lord Accord put the race to bed. I think that he's got some really strong form. I remember him winning a race at Uttoxeter last year, where, again, he thrashed horse called Ask a Honeybee, who looked quite good. He's won round Taunton, so a right-handed track like this shouldn't be an issue. I just wonder if Lord Accord might be improving a little bit too quickly for your Emery Lowe's and your Frodons, who are a bit more exposed for him than him. But, yeah, the way I'm going to play the race, I'm going to back Lord Accord to win, and I'm going to have Emery Lowe in me Nicholls multiple.
Okay, there we go. So you're going to have the Nicholls multiple there, and Rillo favoured over the two Nicholls runners for Graham, but he likes Lord Accord, last time winner out at Cheltenham. Who for you in this, probably the first open-looking race, Mark?
I didn't set out to establish a Paul Nicholls multiple, but it's kind of business that now as I'm going through it. I just think Frodon, like, I mean, this is kind of bizarre handicapping, you'd have to say. Like, I mean, how has he gone down? How is he running off 6 pounds lower here than in the Ultima last time, when he's come back, having been struck into? Like, my understanding would be, if there's a veterinary excuse or issue like that arises, it has to be, you know, taken into account as a factor in the below par performance. And you have a horse here who's now able to run in, like, you know, a race of this nature. You know, he's run off 12 stone, but his last four big handicap wins in graded company, they've been off 11-12, 11-10, 11-12, 11-12, when you know, Briony's claim is out of it. Like, I mean, I just think he's just crying out to win a race like this. When you're looking at him to go for a grade one at Down Royal, and that's what they've been teeing him up for, you know, his record fresh is excellent. I think he's performed figures in the last five or six seasons. He's He's 1-3, 1-3, 1-1, like first time up. And his best race and post rating of his last three seasons has been first time up. I just think if you have a horse down this weekend last year, was winning a grade one, beating Calvin and Manella Indo, and now you can back him in a handicap off 1.58 for a trainer that's 1-3 the last five runnings. You know, I think he just makes sense. Now, listen, maybe at his age, he's no spring chicken. He's 10. But Nicholas has no problem with that in the past for keeping these horses on the go. So just Frodon, he's just so obvious. I'm nearly afraid there's something going to go wrong.
Okay, Frodon for Mark and the Badge of Beers. Handicap Chase and, yeah, like I said, G-Rod is going to be with Enrillo and also Lord Accord. Now, let's move on to the 3 o'clock there at Wincanton, the final race we're previewing there. And it's the Unibet Elite Hurdle Grade 2 race this over just shy of 2 miles. 4 go to post here. Sky Royal is the 11-10 favourite. Nappers Hill 9-4. Milkwood 6-1. And Knight Salute is 8-1. Now, could we end up here getting a Mark Boyden Lucky 15 at Wincanton? You're going to be taking on a three-time winner of this race, Mark. Is Nappers Hill going to be the big danger?
I don't think he'll beat So Royal, to be honest. I'd love to be more bolder, you know, in terms of the prices, but I just think So Royal is too good for them. Like, this is a different ball game than Nappers Hill faced last time in a handicap. You know, I do accept he is on the up as opposed to So Royal, who's maybe he's established a level and he's keeping to it. But I was more than pleased with what I saw from him at Kempton last time. He's seeking 3 on the bounce in this race, 4th win in total. You know, fitness under his girth. You know, I just wasn't mad on Knight Salute to come back at Cheltenham. I don't think there was any indication there that he's necessarily progressed from last season. So Ryle will be very, very hard to beat. This is his ball game. This is his backyard. You know, Nappers Hill, for all that he has upside, I think he's going to need to show an awful lot of it to beat So Ryle.
Okay, so a roll for Mark. Graham, in agreement there that the three-time winner could make it 4?
No, I think that Nappers Hill is one of the bets of the day. Yeah, I think that Nichols will win this as well. He'll be in my Nichols multiple. And yeah, I think he's got an absolutely massive chance of beating So Royal, who obviously is now 10 years old. And I actually think that Nappers Hill's victory at Chepstow on his reappearance is better form than what So Royal achieved when he won the listed hurdle at Kempton last time out. And of course, So Royal can't be getting any better now, whereas we know Nappers Hill is rapidly on the upgrade. He's won his last 3 starts over hurdles, including over 2 miles at Sandown. He's a nice, fluent hurdler. And Paul Nichols was absolutely bullish, wasn't he, in his stable tour earlier in the week in the Racing Post. He said, you know, So Royal's a really good horse, but he's 10 now and we'll absolutely relish a crack at him. And I think he's right. I think Nappers Hill will be far too good for him, for So Royal. I think he'll improve past him.
Nappers Hill, yeah, and the form of that race at Chepstow has worked out very well with the second Lord Baddersley absolutely hosing up at Plumpton earlier in the week. Now let's head over to Ireland to Down Royal for a grade one there. It's the Ladbrokes Champion Chase at 2.32 there. It's over 3 miles. And this is a race that Paul Nichols can't be winning because Frodon's going to be skipping this engagement. So this time around, we're not going to get a Paul Nichols sip. But the market looks like this currently. Galvin's the 11-10 favourite. Conflated 11-4. Kenboy 11-2. Envoilen 8-1. And Beacon Edge is 16-1. What a race this could be. You could easily make a good case for quite a few of these. Graham, who wins this grade one?
Yeah, it's always a great race. It's actually a great meeting, isn't it, this one at Down Royal? Like, it's really, really, really become one of the early season highlights in Ireland. It's funny, you know, I've got a friend who's actually just moved to Northern Ireland. He lives right near Down Royal. And I said, you must be going to that big meeting at Down Royal. And he was like, no, I'm in Cyprus. I was like, oh, well, you've got to be joking. Like, he's only got 2 tracks near him, Down Royal and Down Patrick, you know, and Down Royal is the only one that has any good racing. And he's missing this meeting. What an idiot. Anyway, back to this race. I think that Galvin is it will win it. He obviously won it last year, didn't he? He was second last year, wasn't he, to Frodon. And then he came out and won that race, beating Aplutar at Leopardstown. I mean, he just falls short of the absolute top class, but he was still fourth in the Gold Cup, and he's got a run under his belt, hasn't he, at Punchestown, which I think will really set him right for this. Now, absolute best form, Kenboy can beat him, yeah, on absolute best form. But we haven't seen Kenboy at his absolute best for, a long, long time now. So I think that, Galvin will probably justify favouritism.
Okay, Galvin for Graham, our Irish man, Mark Boyle. I'm hoping you've been looking long and hard at this race, Mark. You've surely found us the winner.
Yeah, I think Gordon will win it, but I think it'll be conflated. I think you're 11-4 about conflated. You know, look at Galvin, established, he's been there, done that, in the sense of, you know, this 3 mile division, he got to a very, you know, admirable standard in it. But conflated, we just don't quite know yet where he could end up in the pecking order of 3 mile chasers. Like, official ratings have conflated 2 pounds higher than Galvin at the moment. And I don't think Galvin did a whole pile to enhance his reputation last time. You know, Run Wild Fred, I don't think we've seen the same Run Wild Fred since he came down in the couple of nationals at Fairy House and Aintree. And, you know, Galvin, there was a brief moment I thought he might just be getting a little bit sticky. I think he traded 3-1 run and have him sent off 11-10. And look, he went and put away Run Wild Fred very convincingly afterwards. And I'm sure they would have sent him to Punchestown with a view to sharpening up. But I just think, you know, the likelihood of either of these horses having more improvement in them in this division, surely Conflated is the one that could take another step forward. He's the one that's come from running in handicaps in December of 2021 to, you know, going and beating Manel Indo and co in an Irish Gold Cup. For all it was a bit of a difficult race to get your head around at the time. But, you know, his entry run, beating a length by Tlanda Zobo with Kenboy and Protector up behind him, you know, you don't hang your hat fully on end of season form, but I think it shows that he does. He wasn't just a flash in the pan, his Irish Gold Cup win. I'd rather him going left-handed. That is my only concern. But if this was left-handed, I think he's a little bit shorter again. And just think at the prices, the market probably has this a little bit wrong, I think. And Kenboy, ground-wise, he probably wanted quicker than it's going to be up here. I just haven't been wowed by what I've seen from him the last couple of starts. So I think Conflated is the one here. I'd be very, very strong on him.
There we go. Both the lads are with Gordon Elliott, but one with Conflated. That'll be Mark. And Graham thinks that Galvin will be taking the Ladbrokes Champion Chase at Downroyal on Saturday. That's it for part one of the podcast. Join us in 15 seconds to preview Aintree, Doncaster, and also get the gents' naps of the weekend.
Our latest series of Upping the Ante returns on November 8th with legendary punter Johnny Dineen joining David Jennings at the helm. Dineen and Jennings will be on your screens every Tuesday with your best ante post bets for the jump season. Subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss out.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club with myself, Sam Hart, Graham Robway and Mark Boylan. And yes, as you heard from that short advert there, Up in the Ante is back Tuesday evening with a show every week leading up to the Cheltenham Festival. David Jennings is joined by ex-Irish bookmaker and top judge Johnny Dineen. Trust me, you don't want to miss that. Subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss out on any of that content. Now, we're going to be looking at Aintree and Doncaster next. And don't forget to stick around for the final part of this podcast, where I'll be joined by Ron Wood to talk all things Breeders' Cup. So on to Aintree, and we start with the 1 minute past one per Temps Network Handicap Hurdle. This is one of the per Temps Hurdle Series qualifiers. You've got to finish in the top four to qualify for the final at Cheltenham in March. It's over the extended 3 miles at Aintree. And like I say, Mark, the top four will qualify here. It's a bit disappointing only having the eight runners, with Milan Bridge as your 7-2 favourite, Jericho Rock 4-1, Flight Deck 13-2, Johnson's Blue and Remasters 7-1, 8-1 about Ashdown Lad, Liz Nagarska 11-1 and Dice Arbor 14-1. So, I mean, like I say, look, 50% of these are going to qualify for this race. So you'd probably say the field size is slightly disappointing for this race, but look, we're not looking for a qualifier, we're looking for a winner. So who's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more Irish trainers having a look at these races at the moment. Like, I mean, to get qualified here, you know, I'm not saying it's not possible at home, it obviously is, but I'm surprised someone's not throwing something at the board. For all now that you have a higher mark when you're on England typically than Ireland, but that's besides the point. I think Remaster is the one at the prices. You know, really cracking effort in this race last year, and he's a pound lower this year. He looked like he was really going to win it coming to the last. He's just got gunned down late on. Look, I know he's probably got wind issues. I think this is his third or fourth wind up. And Scudamore is preferring Jericho Rock, but I think that's understandable considering his main target is going to be the Carlow Gold Cup. And this just looks a pipe opener for that. And fair enough, maybe Jericho Rock would be good enough to capitalise here. But I think Remastered, if I was the pipes, I'd be thinking we came so close to winning it last year. You know, Jericho Rock looks the most likely kind of Carlow Gold Cup candidate. Surely Horse of Remasters profile. This is a race that you think you could be close to winning, and just after getting worn down late on, will Pipe have him a little bit hardier, a little bit sharper this year coming for his first run of the season? I just think Remaster is the one at the prices that makes most appeal.
Remaster 7-1 for Mark. Who for you, Graham?
I thought this was impossible, Sam. Do you know the weird thing about this race is that every runner in the race is coming in first time out for the season or after a long, long break. I mean, the one who ran the most recent was Johnson's Blue 112 days ago. So I don't really necessarily think the best horse will win this race. I just think the fittest horse will win it. And I don't know which one the fittest horse is, so I'm going to sit it out.
Okay, yeah. And we always say, look, if there is a race that you want to sit out, that's no problem at all. We always promote responsible gambling here at the Racing Post. So let's move on then to the 2-11 at Aintree. It's the Ball Sports Best Odds Guaranteed on Racing Grand Sefton Handicap Chase. The first time that we see the national fences this season, over 2 mile 5 furlongs. And the market looks like this currently. Broken Halo, good money for this horse. 9-2 favourite. 2 for Gold, 13-2. Senior Citizen, 15-2. Our Dancer, 17-2. 9-1 about Jacamar and Lifetime Ambition. And double figures bar these. Like I say, G-Rod, there's been some good money for Broken Halo. Now 9-2 best price favourite. Will you be taking him on?
Yeah, although I think Nichols will have a good day. I think he might have a good day at Wincanton and not necessarily at Aintree. I think 2 for Gold is a good bet here, Sam. He's got one of the best pieces of form on offer in the race, and that was when he was second behind Fakir du Deris last year in the Ascot Chase, Grade 1 form, of course, in a handicap. And on the back of that, I backed him when he lined up for the Grand National. And oh, I know, I thought he was going to win most of the way round. He jumped off in front. He jumped like an absolute stag. He went round the first circuit beautifully. He went off down the second circuit in front, jumping beautifully, and then he just, you know, blew up. He doesn't stay. All of his best forms over 2.5 miles, and he had no chance in the end of getting 4 miles and 2, I think it is now, isn't it, the Grand National trip. But, I mean, he went round there so well. He jumped so well. He definitely took to the fences. If he can bring that Grade 1 form to the table in this handicap, even off 12 stone, I think he'd be far too good for them. So, yeah, 2 for Gold.
2 for Gold for G-Rod there. Now, I found Lifetime Ambition interesting for Jessica Harrington here, Mark. Second to Capodanno back in April, with some good form, with some top class horses, and a 7-year-old who could be improving, I'd say.
You're reading my notes, Sam. That's exactly where my pen fell on as well. Yeah. Look, I had big respect for what Gira's put forward there, because I think 2 for Gold is the biggest danger. But Lifetime Ambition is, he's on the up, and as a horse of his profile here attacking these fences for the first time, I think the Harrington camp are pretty adamant this is going to suit him. As a, maybe a long range project for the Grand National. But you know, his record fresh was good last season. He beat Beacon Edge and Vanillier, pair of Grade 1 winners at Down Royal, first time up. And you know, he just, the way he goes about his business, you just feel this could really suit him. And as you say, second to Capodanno at Punchdown last season. Like, being honest, Capodanno, if he offered me a free bet in the Gold Cup at the moment, with 25-1 out there for him, he'd nearly be where my free bet would land, I suppose, if he did. But I just think Lifetime Ambition, I'll be watching him with interest. Just maybe it'll be slightly sharp for him, and maybe we're going to see the best of him back here in the National in the spring. But I think, you know, at the weights, he's going to go very, very close.
Lifetime Ambition for Mark there, and 2 for Gold for Graham. Now, the final race that we look at from Aintree is the 2:45. It's the 2.5 mile Class 2 Ball Sports Best Odds Guaranteed Day Before Hurdle. 4 go to post here. Brewing Up a Storm is the 5-4 favourite. Langadan, 2-1. Dashiell Drasher is 7-2. And Voix de Rêve, the outside of the 4, at 25-1. 4 horses, Mark. It looks like it's only going to be between the top 3, or the betting saying that otherwise. Who's it going to be for yourself?
Very unappealing betting race, to be honest, Sam. Like, Brewing Up a Storm by process of elimination is where I'd land. But just after stopping quickly back after a wind-up now, I'm not too sure whether he's one to bank on, but this is good placing from Ollie Murphy. You know, Langerdan comes here rated £10 inferior and somehow has to give Brewing Up a Storm £4. So he's very wrong at the weights here. And given how he improved from his first start back last season, admittedly, when it was later in the campaign, you know, you'd imagine Langerdan would have a bigger handicap pot in mind, possibly. And Dashiell Drasher, you know, for all that I think he's an admirable horse, it was an atrocious Grade 1 that he won, and he usually needs his first run of the season. So, you know, when you slice it up that way, Brewing Up a Storm is the one to beat. but it's just how brave you are to follow in a horse like him probably at this stage of proceedings. That depends on whether you would.
Okay, yeah, very tentative selection potentially there with Brewing Up a Storm for Mark. Sticking with the older horses, Graham, or do you think the younger horse, Langerdan, can worry them?
I think Mark sums it up perfectly, really. It's a very difficult race to bet in because if Brewing Up a Storm turns up on his best form, he will definitely win. He's the best horse in the race and he's getting weight from Langerdan. The problem is, of course, is that last time out at Aintree over course and distance, he completely capitulated, stopped very quickly and had to be pulled up. And since then, he's had to have wind surgery. And we just don't know, do we? Will he need the run first time up after wind surgery, or will he come back in top form? I don't know. I mean, if he don't come back in top form, then Langerdan will beat him, but if he does, he'll win. So I don't know.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Now let's go off to Doncaster now for some flat racing, something for everyone this weekend, isn't there? British flat and jumps action, Irish flat and jumps action, obviously the Breeders' Cup. I'm actually seeing on the Racing Post app now, Ed Chamberlain saying how primed he is for a 20-race ITV card on Saturday, which is absolutely mammoth. It's going to be a 10-hour show they've got. And remember, with regards to the Racing Post app, we've got the brand new app available. We can download that in the App Store, the Google Play Store. Exclusive content, exclusive tips. Make sure you go and download that. So let's look at the one race we are going to be previewing from Doncaster. It's the 313, the Bet Goodwin November Handicap. It's class 2 handicap over a mile and a half, and Israel is the 11-4 favourite here. Nathaniel Green is 8-1, Metier and Tritonic 10-1, Kemhan and Teed Up 12-1 and 14-1, and bigger the rest. I'm pretty sure, Mark, this will be probably the final tip of the British flat turf racing calendar. Who's it going to be?
I hope we can go to an Irish horse, all country allegiances aside. I think Teed Up is just, he's the one you have to kind of have to take a flyer on here down the bottom for Mullins. And, you know, 12-1, you're getting a bit of value too. There'll probably be an enhanced place or two floating around as well. Soft ground is what this horse wants. Soft ground is what this horse looks like he's going to get this weekend. And, you know, Kim, if you go back to his form for Ken Condon previously, he was a bit of a slow burn, this horse, when he joined them at Mullins at first. He found his feet gradually over hurdles and went and won really nicely when he got a good cut in the ground at Galway over 2 miles, an extended 2 miles, I should say. At the summer festival, you go back to his platform and he's rated kind of 87 territory for Ken, winning on heavy ground at Galway. Now he's down to 82 and sneaking in towards the bottom here. Okay, drawing 20 isn't exactly ideal, but I thought his last run at Leopardstown, which came just 3 weeks ago, that was over a mile and a half. It would be the longest trip he's tackled on the flat. But you just get the feeling that might have been a sighter here, just to see whether it could be possible for him to stay 2 miles on more testing ground in a race like this. And it would just make sense if he did take to it. Look, stamina is an unknown, but you know well he's going to handle the ground more so than others might. Maybe others coming towards the end of a season. He's coming here, having been freshened up and got a run under his girth to just have him sharp for this. You know, I think you put your faith in Emmett here and you take a chance the prices are teed up, that he has been teed up for this, hopefully.
Okay, teed up 12-1. Just looking here to see who's got the best place terms with regards to this race. And a few bookmakers paying sixth place, but Skybet look the best at paying seventh place. Remember, you can look at that on the Racing Post website. Click on the betting and it will show you all of the best odds and best place terms. Graham, I know before we came on air, you were very keen to preview this race off. I'm hoping you've got something special for us here.
Yeah, I do. I do fancy one. I actually had noticed that, you know, little Emmett Mullins had snuck one in there. Troublesome, isn't it, when you see these. You know, I hope this isn't going to be another race where, you know, an Irish horse runs out and wins it like he just jumped in at halfway. Yes, just time and time.
Oh, terrible.
Just that, you know, if you're a British punter and you bet on mainly British horses, which, you know, I tend to do, then it's just so frustrating. It happened recently with Seddon at Cheltenham, didn't it? Oh, that just won like it jumped in at halfway and I was like, oh no, not again. But yeah, I could see it happening now that Mark's pointed it out. But let's hope that it doesn't, Sam. You know, let's hope that this prize stays at home. The favourite is obviously going to be very, very difficult to beat because he won very well on heavy ground over course and distance last month, Isra, and he's his dam was to Gruder, who of course is the Oaks and King George winner. He's bred to be a good bit better than a handicapper. If you're looking for a banker ever in a race like this, then surely Israel is it. However, you just said there's firms here offering six places. You absolutely have to back Falak each way in this race at a big price. I mean, he has been crying out for a step back up in trip on his last two outings. I mean, at Hamilton two runs ago, he was one of the biggest eye catchers of the whole season. He just couldn't get a run, and then he flew home to finish third over an adequate 1 mile, 1 furlong. Last time out at York, he went agonisingly close after again coming from miles off the pace, lost out by just a head over a mile and a quarter. Now, finally, he goes up back up in trip to a mile and a half. Now, talking about good pedigrees, they don't come much better than this. You know, this is a Dubawi out of Dandream, who, of course, won the Arc and I think won the King George as well, or went very close in the King George. And German pedigree, Lomitas is the sire of Dandream. I mean, should love heavy ground at Doncaster. And, yeah, the step-up in trip might just be the catalyst for Falak each way. I'll be backing the favourite, Israel, and I'll be having a good each-way bet on Falak.
Okay, Israel, the favourite, tough to beat, but Ewan Willans, 33-1 Falak. A really great case made for that horse by Graham there, 33-1. Definitely one with those extra place terms to be getting on there. So that's it with regards to the races we're officially going to be previewing on the postcast over this side of the pond. But we'll get anything else from the gents as well. Like I say, there's plenty of action. Doncaster, Aintree, Kelso, Wincanton, Chelmsford, Downraw and Keeneland on Saturday. And Sunday we have Sandown, Fosslass, Nace and Cork. Without giving them naps away, gents, Gerard, I'll start for you. I'm sure you've got something special from Chelmsford for us, and anything else for us?
Yeah, I have got something special from Chelmsford for you in the 5 o'clock at Chelmsford. Yeah, good day. It's called absolutely loves the track, has got some really solid form around there, particularly over 7 furlongs. Comes in quickly after a comfortable win at the track just last week, trained by Joseph Parr, and Kevin Stott, who of course has gone freelance, is now riding a bit more down south. He takes the ride on Good Day, and he's only £4 higher than when he won there last week. So I think he's really well handicapped. And yeah, just at the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, my brother's over there at the moment. He's been out watching the morning workout. So he always sends me the ones that look good working out in the morning. And he's absolute nap of the whole weekend is Cave Rock, who runs in the 9 o'clock Breeders' Cup Juvenile on Friday night. At Keeneland, Bob Baffert trains it. He said this horse looks like an absolute ball, looks in different league to the rest. So that's the nap of the entire weekend over in Keeneland. However, in the Classic, the 9:40, I'm not entirely sure that this Flight Line is quite as good as everyone thinks he is. And I'll be taking him on with Epicenter, who was impressive when winning the Travers Stakes last time out by a wide margin. I'm quite hopeful we're going to get Flight Line beat, Sam.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I think you're ludicrous there, G-Rod. I can't see his horse being beaten, the world's best horse, potentially. G-Rod, not in...
You won't be the first one to have said that.
Well, look, Epicenter taking on the mighty Flight Line, and a couple others there from G-Rod. 9 o'clock. On Friday, Cave Rock at Keeneland, 4-6 favourite there. And the 5 o'clock at Chelmsford on Saturday, Good Day, 11-4. Mark, without giving your nap away, what else is there this weekend?
Well, this horse, you couldn't call him a dark horse now. He's about as bright now as a Real Madrid jersey. But King of Kingsfield runs in the bumper at Down Royal, the 4:10 on Saturday. And the talk about this horse, it's pretty outrageous. Kind of, who knows what he'll turn out to be. But the vibes that you get from the camps around Colentra seems to be that he is really, really thought of highly. He's already 10-1 for the champion bumper, which tells you something. Owned by Jigginstown, won the point-to-point by 30 lengths at Portrush in March. And you go back to the Roll of Honour that Gordon has won this race with in the past. American Mike last year, Sir Gerhard, Easy Work, Malone Road, Rapid Escape, Run for Dave, Death Duty. You know, there's some very, very smart types among them. And King of Kingsfield, the fact Gordon has mapped him for this one, I'll be watching them with interest for all. It wouldn't be my cup of tea to back one for the Champion Bumper at this stage of the year. But two to have a look at on Sunday at Nace in the 12:10, Cavallo Pazzo, a horse that was well backed on debut when he blew the start to give him plenty of time. And he's improved with both runs since coming back. This looks a winnable maiden. I know there's one or two maybe at the ratings that are either equal to him or slightly better. But I think Cavallo Pazzo will take plenty of beating. Dylan Brown McMonagall aboard. And the last one to put up is the Colm White Bookmaker November Handicap at Nace on Sunday, the 3:27 race where you need to stay. And the Shunter, for another one for Emmett Mullins, stepping up from a mile and one last time at Punchestown right up to 2 miles. I think that'll be really, really suitable. Jamie Powell has been making a super impression as an apprentice over here. He's recently ridden out a £7 claim down to five. But the Shunter, he's been on my radar all season for a race like this. I was hoping that he'd come here. Look, he'd probably be prominent enough in the market. But if Everton falls in the Shunter's favour, I think he should be pretty hard to beat for odds. Race, you need a lot of luck in. So yeah. 3:27, Nace on Sunday, the Shunter.
There we go. Three Irish tips there. You got King of Kings, so the 4:10 at Down Roll on Saturday. And then on Sunday at Nace, two tips there. The opening race, the 12:10, Cavallo Pazzo. And then in the November handicap at 3:27 there at Nace, the Shunter for Mark. Right, let's get the naps then.
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
And Mark, we'll start with you. Who's your best bet this weekend?
Go for the best race in Ireland or England this weekend, Down Royal 2:32, and we will go with Conflated.
Conflated, the best bet for Mark in the Ladbrokes Champion Chase there at Down Royal on Saturday. And Graham, the nap is?
Nappers Hill in the 3 o'clock at Wincanton are quite strong. I think he'll beat Zoe Royal.
Nappers Hill in the elite hurdle at Wincanton. And that's it for part two of the postcast. But do stick around as I'll be shortly joined by Ron Wood to get the best Breeders' Cup bets. This is where I leave you, gents. Usually I do an outro with you guys. Have you got much planned this weekend, Graham?
Yeah, what am I doing? Oh, I'm covering for Tom Siegel tomorrow, so I'm actually working. Yeah, Tom Siegel's off at the moment, so I'll be doing the tipping and in the paper on Sunday. But I'll definitely be watching the racing. I can't wait. It's going to be great, isn't it? What a marathon we've got. And we're in for a real treat, not only on Saturday, but also on Friday. So yeah, enjoy the sport, everyone.
Yeah, loving it. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And Mark, are you heading to Down Royal on Saturday or are you elsewhere?
I'll be home trying to keep an eye on Everton Saturday off, but we'll be back at Nace in action on Sunday. So end of the flat season up there. Colin Keenan, Dylan Brown McMonagall are going to collect their respective jockeys championships up there. So and Aidan O'Brien, champion trainer once again. So looking forward to getting out and seeing some nice horses to close the season in the flat over here.
There we go. Hopefully you have an enjoyable day at Nace on Sunday. Big thanks to Graham and Mark, as always. Hopefully they found you a few winners. And after this snappy advert, I'll be talking all things Breeders' Cup with Ron Wood, where we could see one of the best horses of all time in Flightline.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the special edition of the Racing Postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. You join myself, Sam Hart, and special guest for this final part of the postcast, Mr. Ron Wood. How are you, Ron?
Hi, Sam. Yeah, doing good, thanks.
Yeah, looking forward to what's going to be an action-packed weekend over the other side of the pond and this side of the pond. But Breeders' Cup weekend, we're going to be covering the majority of the races on Saturday, getting Ron's best bets across the card. I think first of all, Ron, it'd be good to just quickly discuss a bit about Keenan and American Racing for those who are maybe watching the Breeders' Cup for the first time.
Yeah, so this will be the third time that Keenan has staged the Breeders' Cup. This meeting tends to sort of move all around the country. It's often in the West Coast and California, but yeah, this time it's in Keeneland in Kentucky. One thing I'd say about this, when it's not in California, you've always got to keep an eye on the weather forecast because you just never know what it's going to do. I mean, it looks like we're going to have good ground on turf and the dirt track's going to be fast, so it should be kind of no excuses ground. I'm just keeping an eye on Saturday's forecast because there's a little bit of rain possible in the afternoon, but hopefully we're looking at pretty fair conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be discussing some of the majority of the turf races, a couple of dirt races as well. We'll kick things off snappily into the 4:29 there at Keeneland on Saturday, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint over 5.5 furlongs. And look, Golden Pal 15-8 favourite for the US team there, and Highfield Princess 5-2, and then it's a big gap to Campanella 11-1. Ron, I mean, it looks a battle between the top two, and I think a lot of people beside him with Golden Power, sort of just the American form line and sort of being based in America and what he can do out there. How do you view this race?
Yeah, of those big two, I'd favour Golden Powell. I mean, he never quite done it when he's come over to Britain, but he's 8-for-8 in America. He loves going around a bend and he tends to be like electric out of the gates and he, you know, gets a couple of lengths on the field straight away. Of those big two, I'd favour him just for that reason. I mean, Highfield Princess, she's had a fantastic campaign, but it's worth noting, I mean, her season started, I think it was in February on the all-weather. You know, here she is in November, sort of flying over to America. If she does it, it'll be a fourth top-level win in a row, which would be fantastic. But, you know, of those big two, I'd favour Golden Pal. I've actually gone against both of them, which is possibly a little bit silly. But I've gone for a horse called Naval Crown, who won at Royal Ascot this year. And he was second in the July Cup. He might be up against it, against the sort of speed of Golden Pal. But this horse, he's a big tank of a horse. And I think he'll love going around the bend. He won twice around Maidan going left-handed. He tends to sort of power through his races over a little bit further, over sort of 6 and 7 furlongs. So I think this 5.5 will be right up his street. He's got the pace to hold a position. And I don't know, I mean, if he can just hang on to their coattails early, which I think he'll do. I mean, he has got a lot of speed, then he might just sort of come home best. And he's around the sort of 20-1 mark. So I'm taking a chance on him, maybe each way.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Naval Crown, 25-1, best price, drawn in 9, right next to Golden Power. So an each-way selection there from Ron, but I think Golden Power looks the one to beat, in his opinion. Let's move on to the 550, which is the filly and mare's turf, over just shy of a mile and a quarter here. And Nashua's the 6-4 favourite here, above the curve 11-2, in Italian for Chad Brown, 15-2, along with Tuesday at that price. And then we've got a gap to 16-1 and bigger the rest. Now, looking at this race, Ron, I kind of think that Nashua might be considered a bit too short here for first run in America. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I'm amazed she's around about the 6-4 mark. I think that's really short. She's one point about the draw. In theory, she's drawn quite well in 3, you know, close to the inside rail. But this is an awkward start to this race. The stalls are on the crown of the home turn, and it can be a bit of bumping and barging trying to get a position early on. And in 2015, the first time this race was staged at Keeneland, one horse stumbled out of the stalls, still managed to finish second. And then the last time the race was here in 2020, the horse in stall 1 stumbled and got rid of its rider at the start. So I don't absolutely love her stall in 3, because I think the couple to her inside are going to be looking to sort of get out and get a position. But regardless, even if she has a fair run round, I think, you know, Tuesday doesn't have a lot to find with her. Above the curve is sort of closely matched. I think she's really short.
Who would you say the bet is in the race?
Yeah, so I've actually gone away from the Euros and I'm sticking with Chad Brown. He's won this race 4 times and I like his In Italian. She's drawn away from the inside in 11. She's got the whole of the home straight to get across and she likes to be on the lead. The reason I like her, she won a mile grade 1 at this course last time, and the time she recorded in that race was quicker than a colts race over the same trip. And the winner of that race is going to have a chance in the Breeders' Cup mile. She's already won over 9 furlongs. This is 9.5, but this is really kind of a speed test more than a stamina, more than a test of stamina. So I like the fact that she's got the speed to get a position. She might just get first run on the likes of Nashua and Tuesday, who are kind of middle distance horses from Europe. And I mean, if she gets a comfortable lead in Italian, they'll do well to reel her in.
Okay, yeah. Well, one question I will have, I mean, you mentioned there about a horse having the speed to get a position, and in Italian being an 11, I mean, that will suit in terms of the fact that she can find that position. But with regards to draws at Keeneland on both the dirt and turf track there, is anything to be mentioned there? Is there any better places to be drawn in certain races over the weekend?
Yeah, all I'd say is if you're drawn in one of the extremes, so if you're drawn low or you're drawn really wide, you ideally want a bit of tactical speed. So let's say you're drawn low and you know, you take a horse like Nashua in the filly and mare turf. She's going to want to get a position. She tends to race forwardly. So I don't love sort of stall 3 for her, just as I say, because just as an example, the horse in gate 2 next to her going to Vegas is probably going to go forward. So immediately Holly Doyle's going to have a horse to her inside, you know, looking to sort of to go forward. In Italian, who I like is going to cut across, and mise-en-scene's got speed. So if you're going to be drawn low, you want to have speed to get out. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a load of horses in front of you, and then you're just going to need all the luck in the world to get through. Same as if you're drawn wide, you know, like In Italian's an 11 of 12. But I'm not worried about that, because as I said, she's got the length of the straight to get across, and she's got that mile speed. This is a 9.5 furlong race. I think speed is key when you find yourself in a potentially tricky draw. Otherwise, you end up dropping out the back, and then you're just going to have to hope the leaders overdo it and you can weave a way through.
There we go. Really great insight on the draws there. Really fascinating stuff. Let's move on then to the 6:30 at Keeneland, the 6 furlong Breeders' Cup sprint. This is actually on the dirt track, the first of a couple of races we'll be previewing on the dirt track. And Jackie's Warrior is the odds-on favourite here at 5-6. Kamari, 5-1. Elite Power, 13-2. 11-1 about American Theorem. And then 12-1 and bigger, the rest. Is Jackie's Warrior one for the multiples over the weekend, Rob?
Yeah, I think so. He really ought to win. This isn't a great race. This is normally a really competitive race, the Breeders' Cup Sprint. There's many loads of them sort of tearing off. It's not a strong race this time. Jackie's Warrior should find a comfortable position, either on the lead or just pressing another horse in sort of a close second. And all being well, his figures are superior to those he's racing against. All being well, he'll win. Now, I should preface this by saying I said the same thing last year when he was in this race, and he went off 1-2 favourite and he finished only sixth. But that was one of his few defeats. And the reason being, he came out of that race with an injury. So you've always got to guard against something like that. But if all being well, he ought to win. He's just sort of superior to these horses.
Okay, Jackie's Warrior there in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Moving swiftly on then to the 7:10, which is the Breeders' Cup Mile, obviously over a mile there at Keeneland. And Modern Games, the 9-4 favourite for the Appy team, who had a fine time of things last year at this meeting. Kinross, 4-1. Dream Loper, 9-1. Annapolis is 10-1, 14-1, and bigger the rest of them in here. I personally think the Modern Games could be very tough to beat here. Ron, I think Kinross, with regards to this horse potentially wanting soft ground, I think we're currently having ground described as good out there at the moment. Would you be in agreement there that horse might, on these bends, probably really relish having some soft ground there?
Yeah, I think he did win on fast ground at York earlier in the season, I think, Kinross. But you're right, it probably wouldn't do him any harm if they got one of those showers tomorrow afternoon. It wouldn't hurt his chance for sure. It is a tricky draw for him, that in 13, because does he go forward? He's up in trip, so therefore does Frankie go forward? This horse has got the sort of speed I mentioned to try and work out a position, but he's going over further than he usually races over. And yeah, I don't love him from stall 13, to be honest. I think he's got his work cut out.
Okay, so would Modern Games be the bet in here?
Not for me, Modern Games. And it's strange to say, he's 2-2 in North America, so you kind of think he's the perfect type for out there. But if you watch back his latest win over there in Woodbine in Canada, he didn't get a great position early on. It was fine, given they went a strong pace and he came through, but he wasn't exactly handy. He came from well off the pace. I think this time, that's a one-turn race at Woodbine as well. It's a big galloping track. This is a two-turn race. They're soon into the first turn, and I want something that's going to be nice and handy. And I don't think, as I say, surprisingly for horses that's won twice over there, that Modern Games has kind of got that tactical speed that others have. I landed on one of the locals, Annapolis, the Todd Pletcher horse, Irad Ortiz. He won over course and distance last time, and he might need to improve again to win this race now. This is a bit of a deeper race, but he's only a three-year-old, and he's going the right way. He's never been beaten in a race on sort of good fast ground over around this sort of trip. He's only been beaten twice. One of them was over further, and the other was on soft ground. So I like the fact that Irad Ortiz is one of the best jockeys in America. He'll find a good position, and the horse is going to be thereabouts. It's whether he's quite good enough, and if he improves just another notch, I think he will be.
Yeah, very consistent, Todd Pletcher's run at Annapolis. Seven runs, been in the top two in all seven of those. So, yeah, potentially a really good each-way shout there at 10-1 with Annapolis from Ron. Let's move on then to the Breeders' Cup Turf, a mile and a half at 8:40. And Nation's Pride, Appleby actually has the top two in the market. Nation's Pride is 9-4. Rebel's Romance is 4-1. Warlike Goddess, 9-2. Mishriff, I think this is Mishriff's final run at 7-1. And double figures bar these. Will Appleby be taking this one out, Ron?
Not for me. For starters, I'm dead against Rebel's Romance. I don't think he's got the tactical gears that I've sort of spoken about before. He's just a bit of a galloper. And I know him from his time in Dubai when he used to follow him out there. He used to run on the dirt in Dubai, and he just wasn't. He actually won a UAE Derby, but he just didn't have the gears to really sort of progress out there. I think they thought he was going to be an American Triple Crown horse at one point, but he just lacks gears for me. Nation's Pride does have gears. He's a 10-furlong stroke mile and a half horse, so he'll be absolutely fine. But this will be his first start against older horses, and he's still got a little bit to do for me. He's been running in a three-year-old series in the States, and he's been doing well. But this is another step up on Saturday.
I'm starting to think that Warlike Goddess might be the bet for you, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think she's probably going to end up my nap on the card. She's won 9 of her 12 starts. She beat the boys in a grade one last time at Aqueduct. She's 2-2 over this course and distance. Her figures are really good. She's got a top jockey in Joel Rosario on. she's drawn two. That's fine because she's the horse in one. Bye Bye Melvin was the horse that she kind of just tracked around at Aqueduct last time. He's one of the likeliest front runners, so she should find a good spot. Yeah, and I think with a clean run round, she's going to be really hard to beat. You know, Nation's Pride is going to have to take another step up, in my opinion, to beat her. And she's a decent price, you know, with the Euro market, as the markets over here tend to be skewed a bit to the Euros, and you know, she's hovering around the 9-2 mark. I'd probably make her favourite myself.
Okay, Warlike Goddess 9-2 currently for the Breeders' Cup Turf for Ron. And on to the final race that we preview, the Breeders' Cup Classic over a mile and a quarter on the dirt, probably the highlight of the meeting. And Flightline is the 2-5 favourite here. Epicenter 13-2. Life is Good 17-2. And double figures the rest of them. Now, Flightline then, Ron, he's obviously a no bet at 2-5, but we have to talk about him. The world's top horse right now, unbeaten, won the Pacific Classic Stakes by 19.25 lengths, which is some doing in any American race, let alone a grade one, and beating none other than Country Grammar back in second, who was the Group 1 Dubai World Cup winner. Now, he's had five races with a combined winning distance of 62.75 lengths. That's just over 12.5 lengths per race. Just how good is Flightline, Ron?
Yeah, so he's an amazing horse. I did a piece for the Post after the Pacific Classic, and I was comparing him to Secretariat. I don't think he's as good as Secretariat, but he can definitely lay claim to being the best horse in the States since then. I mean, he's that good. The Pacific Classic was just ridiculous. It was, as you say, it was over 19 lengths. And not only that, but the one thing you look at on dirt racing in particular is whether the time backs it up. And it most certainly did. The time was out of this world as well. And he did it fairly effortlessly. He kind of pressed the pace early on, took over down the, you know, he actually carted his way to the lead down the backstretch. And then it was this, the comparison with Secretariat is rounding that final turn. If anyone's ever seen Secretariat's Belmont Stakes, when he just goes further and further clear rounding the turn in, Flightline did the same thing at Del Mar, and yeah, he just kept going, and he was kind of geared down at the end by Flavien Prat, and it was just absolutely stunning. So if he repeats anything like that level on Saturday, he's going to be really hard to beat. This is quite a deep race. I'd go as far as saying it's a deeper race than the Pacific Classic, but then again, he had more than 19 lengths to spare then, so I think you'll be all right. As you say, probably a no bet at the price. You might be looking for something to fill the places, maybe an exacta or something, or, you know, without the favourite. But it's also just a race to enjoy. And the hope is that he puts on a show like he did at Del Mar.
I mean, some punters might be, you might have some punters looking to have a win by lengths bet on Flightline. Do you think if you are confident Flightline is going to win this, do you think he's going to do it in sort of the style he's been doing, you know, all of his winning in?
Yeah, to be honest, that's an interesting point. I would guard against going too big on the distances, just for the fact that I think he sort of absolutely maxed out at Del Mar. It was perfect. There was like an inferior, well, they're all inferior, but there was a pretty modest horse that gave him a lead. And then he just sort of swatted that one aside down the back. This time he's going to have a really good horse in Life is Good, probably just going to lead him early on. And this Life is Good, he's got sprint speed and he can go for about 9 furlongs. And also a point to make is that Ortiz, who rides Life is Good, he tends to race wide on this horse, just making life awkward for those chasing him. And that's going to be a little added complication for Flightline. So I think he'll have to do a little bit of work to get past. Well, I say a little bit of work. Life is Good is a very good horse, so he'll have to work to get past him. That might then just mean he hasn't got a load left for the, you know, for the closing stages. At this point, he should be clear. You know, once he's cleared Life is Good, he should be away from the pack. I just don't see him necessarily coasting to that same sort of margin as at Del Mar. I still expect him to win by, you know, a good amount, but there's good horses in here, like Tabor of Baffert's and Epicenter of Steve Asmussen's, who will be probably running. They'll probably be kept out of the heat early on and running on late. So if anything, I haven't looked at those markets, but if there's a bet to sort of go under that kind of Del Mar distance, I'd definitely favour the not quite as spectacular.
Okay, yeah, I think a lot of people, the whole of the racing world, are wanting to see Flightline put up a really impressive display at Keeneland on Saturday and really announce himself as the world's best horse currently. I mean, he is at the moment, but he's going to put in something really special, I hope, that will put him right on the map as one of the greatest of all time. And before we finish, Ron, we've got to get a nap from yourself. You've already mentioned the Warlike Goddess is likely to be the one on Saturday. But do you know what? For our keen listeners who are going to be straight on the podcast, listening to it on a Friday evening, let's give a Friday nap as well for Keeneland. Who's the best bet out there on Friday?
Yeah, so it's all the two-year-olds on Friday, and I've managed to pick one with the most awkward name going. Her name is Kijera, but if you look at it, it's spelled completely different. So punters will have to sort of check out that. In fact, I'll find the the race number for her if I can, because she's the spelling of that is completely different to how it's pronounced. But yeah, just on her case, I like her. She was really impressive when she won her turf maiden at Saratoga in the summer, and then they tried her on dirt last time. You know, they think that much of her that they thought give her a go on the dirt and see if she was she was going to be up to competing in that race. She ran really well in what was probably kind of a key race, only fading out a bit late on. Now she's back on the turf. I think she's got an outstanding chance, and she's a decent price. She's number 13 and Key Jera, but it's spelled completely differently.
If you are looking at this race, it's the 8:20 at Keeneland on Friday. It's Kijera, and the spelling is Xigera. Sounds like nothing like how it's spelled. But yeah, if you wanted to know, it's horse number 13 in the 8:20 on Friday, taking on Aidan O'Brien's favourite, Meditate There. Now, that's it with regards to a nice snappy preview of Keeneland from Ron. That was absolutely superb, Ron. What's your plans for the weekend? I guess you're going to be very busy with regards to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, so just finishing up the spotlights, and then I'll be doing the, all the post race analysis and sort of explaining how the horses all ran, and maybe trying to make sense of how my tips got on. So yeah, looking forward to it all. That should be good.
It really is going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it as well. A great meeting over at Lexington, Kentucky for the Breeders' Cup. Catch that over the next two evenings. Big thanks to Ron. That was really fantastic. A great snappy preview of the Breeders' Cup on Saturday, along with his Friday nap. So hoping they go in for you guys. So plenty of selections for this week, and hopefully we found you a few winners. Bruce will be back next Thursday. Remember, not Friday. He'll be back Thursday for the Cheltenham November meeting preview. A really fantastic meeting there at Cheltenham. We'll have a great panel on to discuss the action from Jumps HQ. You can catch the front page on Monday on the Racing Post YouTube channel for kind of a review of the weekend and the hot topics that have been going on during the week. The return of Upping the Ante Tuesday evening with Johnny Dineen and David Jennings. Don't miss that. That's sure to be an absolute cracker. Big thanks for listening as always. Remember, if you are having a bet, do remember to gamble responsibly and enjoy the weekend.